What are Alex Golish's expectations for this Auburn Tigers football team? Well, let's just hear it from him.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Alex Golish goes on David Pollock's C-Ball, Hit Get Ball, I think is the name of it, podcast yesterday, and they talk about identity, expectations, and I got a great clip that I know that you guys are going to like. We're going to break that down. What are his expectations for the 2026 season? As far as Auburn hoops goes, everybody is here. We're going to talk about that and what that means and some early kind of thoughts on the roster as a whole. And then today is Jackson Koivin's PGA debut. Got a few details I want to share on that as well. But let's jump right in. Like I said earlier, Alex Golish goes on C-Ball, Get Ball, David Pollock's podcast, which is fantastic, by the way. And Pollock just straight up asked him, hey, what's your expectations? Maybe not necessarily wins and losses. What are your expectations for the 2026 season? And in Golish fashion, it's not a short answer. So be prepared. It's a little bit of a longer clip, but there's a lot in there that we're going to break down. I want to go ahead and get this going. Here's Golish's answer on what he would like to see in this football team this upcoming season.
Yeah, I think, that's been like the one question that has gotten asked a lot. And I've really sat and thought about it, because you get here in December, like you're moving a million miles an hour. Like the last thing I've thought about is like, man, what does success really look like? And I think as I've thought about it, like more than anything, you want to have an identity. I think elite football programs have an identity, and you can look across the NFL. You can look across college football. They have an identity, like you can pinpoint to heck, your alma mater and say, like, why are they good year in, year out? Well, and you could probably tell me better than I could tell you, but it starts with elite defense, right? Like, you know that, like detail, tough, physical, like, yep. Like, well, for us to be really, really successful in year one, we have to have an identity. Like if we leave year one and not just our football team, but honestly, like the general public that watches college football can say, man, like those guys are this. And for me, I can sit here and drill down what I want it to be. I think until the guys in your program really own it, it's just me talking and it's coach talk. But like more than anything else, like a physically and mentally tough football team that's smart. Don't do dumb things. Don't hurt yourselves. And a team that's willing to go finish. Like this league, it doesn't take like analytic research to know that over 90% of the games in this league are one score games, which tells you like, man, like it's all relatively evenly matched. And so what is the difference? Well, like it's really what's gotten Auburn to be one of the true blue bloods in college football. Elite defense, run the football. Well, you got to be tough physically. You got to be tough mentally to do those two things. And you got to be really, really smart. You know, we lost six games here a year ago by one score.
Yeah.
Like why? And that's, and not asking you for the answer. And I don't know the answer because I wasn't here, but to me, that can't be who we are.
How many seasons over the last, gosh, it's been a while. How many seasons have you left feeling like you knew what that team, particular team's identity was at Auburn? That was positive. I mean, we can come up with terrible on offense and, you know, good enough on defense, but just couldn't get it done. That's been kind of the identity over the last 3 to 4+ years. Couldn't get the ball, couldn't move the ball enough to protect your defense. And the defense was good and to the point where they just got exhausted because they couldn't get any production from the offense. That's kind of been Auburn's identity for a while now. Like, you can even go back into some of the Gus years, minus like a few of the breakout years. I think getting back to that identity where not necessarily it's a black and white thing, but getting back to where you can define who a team is, I think is a great first step to turning a program around, which is what Coach Golish has mentioned over and over again. When we talk about last year, and we talk about a couple of shows ago, we talked about the one score record under Hugh Freeze. I think he lost 12 out of 14 one score games. He won his very first one, and then I think he won one against Texas A&M in there. The razor thin margin of error is clearly there. And I love that you got to be tough. You can't be dumb. You can't do dumb things. You got to be a smart football team. These are all the little things that turn into big things. These are all the little things that when you clump them all together can be the difference in multiple ball games in a, throughout a football season. Last year, again, six losses, 0-6 in one loss games. What if you win half of those? What if somehow you win three out of those six? What are we talking about right now? You know, I guess I would have put us at 8 wins last year, which depending on when those losses can or when those wins could have come, like who knows if that could have, you know, springboarded into some confidence in some others. And do you have a coach getting fired? And do you have to play the last three games with an interim? Do you have a quarterback change? Like, there's so many things that if you're just handling the little bitty things, it helps to combat like those situations where the game can go either way, and be tough in those tough situations. Be smart in those tough situations, in those crunch time situations. Gosh, man, I miss that about Auburn. That's probably the thing I miss about Auburn football the most. You could watch a game and feel like Auburn had a chance to win the game until the last second of the clock ticked. And like, I've tricked myself the last several years, but the identity has been they're going to find a way to screw it up. That's been Auburn football for way, way too long. He goes on to say, like, his biggest fear is that, like, after the year it has passed, after the season's over, people are going to be like, what was that football team? Like, I don't know what they did well. What was their goal? Who were they as a team? He doesn't seem like the kind of coach that's going to, and he even said it at the beginning, like, he's not going to necessarily say, this is what I want the identity to be, and this is who we're going to be. And when I'm talking about that, I'm more so talking about what you see on the field. Fitting, you know, trying to fit round pegs into square holes, or square pegs into round holes, however that saying goes. A round peg may go into a square hole. So you definitely got to get that right. You definitely got to get that right. Square peg into a round hole. All right. Now, not trying to make and force the team to be something they're not. Figure out really quick what they do well and then build around that. And then when you go into a game, you know, this is how we're going to be successful. And that team across the field over there, this is what they can expect. We're going to get after their tail on both sides of the ball for four quarters, 60 minutes. It's going down. I can't wait. And I hope it's now. I hope it's this year. Regardless of record, I can't wait to feel that about Auburn football again. I can't wait to feel like there's a chance until the clock hits zero. those were the best times. You know, when I was at Auburn, that's the way it felt. I mean, early to mid 2000s into the late 2000s, man, it just felt like if there was a second on the clock, Auburn had a chance. And it hasn't felt that way in a long time. So find an identity, get to the end of the year, and people are like, that's who Auburn is. That's who that team is. Those guys are this. Discovering that, harnessing that, and then go turning it into wins and being smart football players, a smart football team, I think is something that we've been waiting for or yearning for quite some time. So we'll see if it happens. Again, typical goal, classic goalish answer. I actually had to cut that off because it was like 4 minutes. but that was the meat of it. Hey, 0-6 in one score games, that can't happen. That's how the clip ended. I, at least from a confident standpoint, from a fan perspective, you like to hear that. Let's talk about hoops. Let's talk about golf here in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere for less than $1 a day. You can list your business. You can even do a business spotlight podcast with me that we launch every single weekend. It's a ton of fun, great value, can't beat it. And if you're an Auburn listener, Auburn fan, and you're going to make some type of purchase or looking for some type of service, you need to train yourself to start at buyauburn.com. And then if you need a good realtor in the Auburn, Opelika, Lee County area, I'm your guy. Hit me up, Kyle Rush at kw.com with Keller Williams Real Estate here in the area. Got 4 great townhome listings that I'd love to show you. Investment properties with proven revenue generating properties. And then they could be first home, whatever. Doesn't matter. Love to show you that. Got game day cottages, got all kind of stuff. Hit me up. It's Kyle Rush at kw.com. We'll be back right after this. All of your basketball roster for the 2026-2027 season are finally here. As Narcisse Ngoy finally made it to Lee County, I believe yesterday, for the first time. So that's exciting. Stephen Pearl, so there was an ambush event last night, I think at Wicker Point in Alex City, and he had a hilarious quote. That, you know, when they got off the plane, when talking about Montas and talking about Ngoy, when they got off the plane, they were the height that they said they were. So that was a good start. Montas said he was 6'7", and he's 6'7". And Narcisse said he was 7'1", and he's every bit of 7'1". And that's kind of a callback to you know, Philip, gosh, I can't even think of his last name now. Jovic saying that, you know, thinking we're getting a 6'9 power forward and he's really more like 6'6 or 6'7. So that's funny in and of itself. But yeah, it's good to have everybody here. I think all of the early returns, I haven't really had much time to like practice all together yet, but just from getting those guys here, I think Montas has maybe had a few times to work out. Narcisse is wearing number 95, which is just a unit number. Like, you're going to be a unit. 95. We talked about numbers yesterday on Afternoon Delight, and we totally didn't even talk about basketball numbers. We were talking about football numbers and then how sometimes baseball numbers are weird, but basketball numbers can be weird too. 95, though, for a 7-footer seems just right. That seems to be perfect. Good stuff to have all those guys here. I was going to be concerned with those guys until they got here. For whatever reason, I just didn't have the best feeling about them getting here. Montas with the 5 for 5. Narcisse with the whole NBA draft thing and you know, luckily he's, you know, foregoing that, he's going to be at Auburn, which is great, because how big of a disaster would that have been if he gets drafted and then he goes to the NBA and then you're left again kind of in limbo with big men? Yeah, you do have Buki and you do have Owen Freeman, but Narcisse was going to be your – he was going to be your guy. He was going to be the dude that you could kind of build that back wall or that front wall around. So good to have all those guys here. I'm ready to get to practice. Hopefully I'll be able to go to practice some next week and see all these guys work out together and practice together. I'm getting pumped, man. I'm getting pumped for hoops. I think this team could be fun. Jackson Koivun has his PGA Tour debut. I know a lot of you are probably like, wait, he just had a tournament in the U.S. Open. That's correct. He did, but he played as an amateur. He did not play as a professional. So this weekend, hopefully he makes it to the weekend. We'll just say today. Today he tees off at 7:35 Central Time in the John Deere Classic as a PGA professional. He's playing his first rounds with Jordan Spieth and Ben Griffin. Jordan Spieth had his first win here at the John Deere Classic. This is crazy, man. So this is his first PGA Tour event, and he has the third best odds. The third best odds to win the tournament. This week is going to say a lot about him. It doesn't have to write the story on who he will be as a professional, but this week will say a lot about him because he is just being bombarded, rightfully so, about being the next big thing, like the number one amateur in the world. All of this anointing, so to speak, of being like the next great. And all of that noise, man, has to weigh on you. Like all of those expectations have to weigh on you. Now, when you're the number one amateur in the world, like that comes with the territory. So every time you go into a tournament, all the eyes are already on you. So he's been the number one amateur in the world for quite some time. So he's got a little bit of extra practice, so to speak, of having, you know, the eyeballs and the pressure on you, because everybody's going to give you their best shot, particularly in like a match play scenario. Everybody's, you know, you're probably going to have the biggest crowds in college and so on and so forth. You're playing with, you know, a major winner in Jordan Spieth, the guy who won this tournament prior, who's won this tournament before. This will say a lot about him. So I'm actually, it's funny. I used to do a golf podcast. I watched it all the time. And like, I just gotten out of it. Like to the point when I say gotten out of it, like locking in and like really watching golf. I'm actually pumped to watch golf this weekend. I'm pumped to watch Jackson. He plays his first two rounds. He'll play today early. He'll play tomorrow in the afternoon. So you probably get to see a lot of him tomorrow on TV coverage. Today it'll probably just be mostly highlights. And if he makes the cut, if he's high enough, or I guess low enough in his score, he'll get to play on the weekend, and that just would be awesome. It'd be so much fun to have an Auburn guy making noise on the PGA Tour. So let me know what you think about Alex Golsch's quotes about the identity of this team, what he wants it to be or what he'd like it to be, or just the fact that, hey, we have an identity and it's positive. It's not something we're known negatively for. Let me know what you think about that. Are you getting fired up for hoops now that everybody's here? And then are you going to be watching some golf this weekend? Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. Check out the premium option we have as well. There's content we drop every single day, twice a day, most days. There, a lot of fun stuff. And hey, going to try to do a Barncast live tonight. Just have some fun. Not necessarily any direction that we're going to go in. We're going to give it a shot. So y'all make sure you're there for that. We'll be back again very, very soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.